as he mentioned in his prayer, we're studying the basic traits of good character, which should be certainly a goal of Christians, to help us be better Christians, help us be better servants, better brothers, better spouses, better citizens, just better people in general. I think we'd all agree that this world needs better people. As I mentioned before, this class is over honesty and truthfulness, which may be ironic that you picked a sales guy to speak on honesty and truthfulness. So, but you know, we talked about humility, we talked about kindness, and this may seem very, very basic, like, well, yes, we know we need to speak the truth and not tell lies, but we go through this and you just think about application. It's so fundamental. So, it's a pillar, the truth and honesty is a pillar of our society, our government. If we don't have honesty and truth, what do we have? We basically have anarchy and chaos. We don't have structure. So, it's fundamental to what we do for this country and to the world we live in. And if you think about maybe some third world countries, what do you think about the issue is? Usually it's corruption. I think of Nigeria and Africa and all the oil money that's been pumped into that country, but due to corruption and mismanagement, those people don't have the standard of living that they should with the money that's been provided, or maybe some South American country as well. So, but we could be no different. If we're not truthful and honest and deal with people the right way and don't take what's not ours, we could be in the same way. And I think you can see some of that today in this country where we're headed. And you see the contrast here, deceitful, loose with facts, lie, steal. Not only misrepresent others, but blind to self, take advantage of people, circumstances. So, starting out, in our society, who would we say people that we feel are truthful or honest? What types of people? Maybe professions. A couple of people immediately come to mind. What jobs, when you say honest, truthful, who do we think of? Sorry? Doctors, absolutely. We want doctors to shoot it straight. Right? Don't tell us what the situation is. We need that. What else? Teachers? Absolutely. What about judges? Right? We need them to rule truthfully. Don't not be bribed. Any other professions or people that we view as these are straight shooters or truthful, honest? Preacher? It should be, right? But Steve would probably say, I can give you a lot of examples of people who weren't that way, right? So if we flip the coin over, who in our society do we view as shady? You know, lying, not tell the truth?
Politician.
Both sides of the aisle, right? Up and down. 100% agree. I mean, the one I think of is used car salesman. Everybody says that term, right? So they'll tell you anything to get you to buy this car. What other ones? We got politicians. Car salesman?
Lawyers.
Yes, that's the third one, yes. No one likes lawyers, but everybody needs one at some point, right? Just like preachers, there's good ones and bad ones, no matter if we're talking about firefighters, teachers, whatever. There's good people and bad people in every profession. Any other shady characters? I'll probably cover the top three. Politicians, lawyers, and salespeople. So let's turn with me to Leviticus 19. Start in verse 9 there. Obviously, this is some instructions that the Lord gave to Moses to speak to the Israelites. Leviticus 19, chapter 19, starting in verse 9. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind. You shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Verse 15. You shall not do injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great. But you are to judge your neighbor fairly. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people. You are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So this verse here is basically the outline and attitude we ought to have on how we treat our neighbors, how we treat our fellow man, anywhere from how they should harvest, that they should leave some for the poor, leave some for the needy. And then verse 11, plain as we can read, you shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And why is that? Why should we not do that? If we want to be acceptable to God, that's what we need to do, because I am the Lord your God. We shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. Once again, rob is just steal, dishonest. It's all in the same family. And then, things that you should not curse a deaf man or place a stumbling block before the blind. All about things how we should treat, interact, how carry on with our fellow person. And then you drop down to 18, and he throws this in, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we've seen this before. But let's talk about as you love yourself. Can we be dishonest with ourselves? Absolutely. And Steve notes, he kind of references, a preacher being frustrated with the audience of not being receptive and saying, oh, it's just the audience. And his notes kind of reflect back to the preacher. And we all can internally ourselves, but what if I didn't get a contract or I lost a bid or I didn't get a job? And they say, oh, they just don't like me. It's not my fault. They like somebody else. It's this reason, that reason. Maybe I need to do some self-awareness and self-examination and say, well, maybe I didn't prepare enough for that. Maybe I didn't understand what the customer wanted. Maybe I didn't do everything I could have done to put myself in a better position, been more successful. So, this is, my opinion, a huge issue in our society today. It's never my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. It can't be my fault because I'm perfect. So, you look at question one at the bottom, suggestion, discussion for parents. When are your children most likely not to be honest and truthful? Let's just start with that. I've done something wrong. Absolutely. It's never my fault. It's somebody else's fault. I didn't do that. See the kid with the crayon handwriting on the wall and like, did you do that? And they had the crayon in their hand. No, it wasn't me. So how do we handle that? That's a teaching moment, right? We can laugh it off, but at the same time, That standard, that precedent is set on at an early age. You can't, it's hard to change that when they're 16, 17, 21. It's when they're 3, 4, 2. And feel free to get comments or something you want to add, please raise your hand and let me know. So I already answered this, but what is the role of the parent relative to the awareness and training of this? Can't let it slide, right? We got to straighten them out and understand this is not acceptable. You have to tell the truth. You can't lie to us. That's exactly right. It's the younger they are, the more they're sponge, right? They see how you react, they see what you do. I think about Martha Stewart, whatever her title is, but we're all familiar with her. She went to jail for lying, basically, not for the crime that she committed, but it's lying that she didn't do it. So, a lot of times the cover-up is worse than the crime. But it sure is hard to own up and say, yeah, I did that. I messed up. Once again, that's an issue we have in our society where people don't own their mistakes, if you will, and learn from them. It's somebody else's fault. Drop down to verse 35 in Leviticus 19. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you to the land of Egypt. You shall thus observe all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them. I am the Lord. So what are we talking about here with measurements and weights and balances? What are we talking about? Judgment, but what's this in relation to? Money, right? If you want to, and we don't live in this society today, right? We don't buy, we buy five pounds of flour, but back then you weighed it out, whatever it was. You measure it out. But if I had an unfair weight, then I might be cheating you, right? You might be paying 5 pounds, you're only getting 3. So, but we don't do that today. But if we think about things we buy today, it's still applicable, right? you go buy 10 gallons of gasoline. How do you know you're getting 10 gallons? Well, you're right, Bill, we don't know, but supposedly go by and check to make sure that's right. So we're not getting cheated. But that's an opportunity for someone to cheat us. And that's a person. Right? That's no, the government is people. It's all about how people treat one another. Any other applications on how we can cheat ourselves, cheat our brother in this particular verse? Yeah.
Some people think of it as white lies.
Sure.
And then truthfulness may be convicted, but this is how God uses it. Truthfulness is what's right, what's pure, or lying is an abomination. And it's bad. So.
Yeah, and very bad, right? We don't do anything that's an abomination. And we'll talk about it later as well, but we said it, you know, if I'm cheating you out of flour, you might not even know you're getting cheated. So it's, and, you know, according to the world standard, hey, get what you can get. If you don't know, that's shame on you. But I'm going to get as much as I can. No, it's not. We're not judged by the standard of the world. We're on God's standards. God knows, and we know. So we can't apply the world standards to how we do things. It's our relationship with God, and we don't want to be an abomination, like Keith said. Let's go ahead and compare to Deuteronomy 25. Verse 13. Deuteronomy 25, starting verse 13. You shall not have in your bag different weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, large and small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. For everyone who does these things, everyone who acts unjustly, is an abomination to the Lord your God. So you're saying that if I just cheat this guy a little bit on this coffee or flour, that's gonna affect my future? Yeah, I'm saying it is, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And obviously, we know how that played out. They were unjust, corrupt, served other gods, didn't serve the one and true God, and they were eventually removed from the land. But these little things here, this is a more of an attitude, how we treat our neighbors, how do we treat, you know, our brethren, our next door neighbor. And this still applies to us today. And it said in verse 16, how does it end? An abomination to the Lord. So we read a lot of things that are an abomination. Well, the world will be like, oh, but not this. Like I said, like he said, this is a white lie. No, God views it all the same. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to do anything where I'm accused of being an abomination to the Lord your God. Turn with me to Proverbs 11. Verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Same principle. Obviously, God relays this message over and over again because He knows He needs it and we need it. And hopefully we'll be better than the Israelites because they never did get it. In 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. Lying lips, we're supposed to be honest. Honest in our dealings with our brethren, our children, our wives, our employers. Me and Keith talked about it before, dealing with customers. The customer's dealing with us. They'll tell you one thing, and then it changes. And it's sometimes there's just people you don't no longer want to deal with because they're not trustworthy. They're not truthful. They don't feel like this is a good relationship for us to be in. And that's from the sales side of the fence, that's a hard thing to do. Like, I got to walk away from this guy. I can't do business with him. But if he's not going to be truthful and honest with you, It's better for all of us. Anything before we move on to Luke? You know, right. You can do 99 things right and make one mistake, and they're going to remember the one versus the 99. And more to the point, Keith, it's crane industry, very small niche group. Industrial distribution, same deal. You can't burn bridges because it's a very small community and people know each other. People talk. So, and it's like I said, if that's your reputation, you don't have anything, in my opinion. So, and to your point about your children, if you make a mistake, own it. We'll get past that. But if you lie to me, then now I'm questioning everything that you've ever told me or move forward. So, Billy? Set apart means set apart for a reason, right? We're supposed to be different. And if someone who has the name Christian is doing that, well, we know it's really not a Christian. They're not trying to be Christ-like. So it's in name only. And maybe they're trying to fool themselves or fool others. But yeah, we're supposed to be different for a reason. And so, but it's one of those sometimes it's easier said than done, right? If we get caught up in it, man, I got to get the sale. I got to have this. My job's on the line. Well, your job might be on the line. You're right. But your soul's also on the line too, so, and your reputation. And if you don't get this, you get fired, then you might not get a job anywhere else, or do have to do something totally different. So. Repent is what? A change of will, right? So if you're just sorry I got caught, I'm going to figure out how to do this differently next week. I mean, that's really not what we're looking for. It's to do different altogether. Yeah, I think, going back to our kids, you know, I can handle a mistake. You make a mistake. But truth be told, if you're not making mistakes, you're not doing anything. You're not learning. You're not growing. So it's you know, lying to me, trying to cover up. That's the issue. Make a mistake, we can figure out how to correct it. We can all learn from it. But it's when you lie to me, then we have issues. And that goes to me, from employer to employee, from parent to child, even from spouse to spouse. I mean, how many spouses lie to each other about, you know, did you spend that money? No, I spent it. Yeah, you probably did. Yeah, I can see the, you know, Costco or Target or whatever, you know, just randomly pull those companies out of there. Sir.
Love God with all that heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God.
Great point, Josh. You're saying, I was thinking, if that's where we are, then we're looking through the wrong lens. Either we don't have enough faith, or we're just all wrong. Because what if I win every day? What if I get over on everybody? What have I earned? I'm still going to die, and I put my soul in jeopardy. You know, if I gain the whole world but give up my soul, what have I won? So that's a great point, Josh. Anything else before we move on? Yes. Good point is, and they're all interconnected, right? Pride gets in the way, like, you know, let's say you get away with it for a couple times, and you're like, man, they haven't caught me yet. I got this game figured out. You know, that's when pride, then you eventually get caught one way or the other, whether the Lord can get you or here on this earth. But yes, it's a little chink in the armor, and you're like, okay, that wasn't so bad. My conscience is not bothering me. Why do this again? So, all right, let's go to the New Testament, turn to Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 10. And the crowds were questioning him, saying, then what shall we do? He said to them, the man who has two tunics to share with him who has none, and who has food is to do likewise. And some tax collectors also came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? He said to them, collect no more than what you've been ordered to. Some soldiers were questioning him, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? He said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. That sounds pretty simple enough. Just take what you're supposed to. Just do what you're supposed to do, right? Not so much. Tell the tax collectors, collect no more than you've been ordered to do. Does the IRS view me differently than tax collectors back in the New Testament? No, probably not. No one likes to pay taxes. But we all understand we need taxes for our first responders, our roads, our military. But we don't pay our share. We don't pay any more than we have to. But these guys, obviously, I don't know what the system was back then. I don't think there was an H&R Block where you go and get it figured out. They take how much you pay. They probably knocked on your door and said, this is what you owe. And if I put my evil hat on, this is probably a good way for the tax collector to get a bonus this month. Hey, you owe about 30 shekels. Wait a minute, I thought I only had 10 last time. Well, you know, we got to get some little more. So it's honesty. Are we lying? Do they have a job to do? Yes. Are they supposed to carry it out? Yes, they were. But they were supposed to do it honestly. Obviously, the same thing with soldiers. So don't take anything by force. So, once again, how they treat their fellow man. Do they have a job to do? I would say yes. No different than our police force today, our military today. You know, we studied a lesson earlier, it was kindness. How far can kindness get us? I think kindness can get you a lot further than being mean, rude, and angry. Now, is there times that you have to do that with certain people? Absolutely. But I think you get more with kindness than anything else. So these people were being baptized. So this was they were repenting. This is a new way of life for them. Maybe 2 weeks ago, they were on the take or roughing people up for money. So was this possibly going to be an easy solution, an easy change? No. But Jesus didn't really give them an option, right? This is what you're supposed to do. Collect no more than what you've been ordered to. Do not take money from anyone by force. Accuse them falsely. Be content with your wages. That's an interesting term right there, right? Content with your wages. That term means a whole different definition in 2020 versus previous years, doesn't it? Are we content with our wages? Are we happy that we have a job? Or are we holding against, like, I'm going to find a way to make some money on the side. By hook or by crook, I'm going to get some more. That's the world we live in today. Yes, sir? No. They were supposed to serve like they're serving God, right? Exactly. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 10. Starting in verse 19. Mark 10:19. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Pretty wide variety of commandments right there, right? I mean, words of do not murder. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Do not bear false witness. What do we mean by that? Telling lies about your neighbor, right? Ruining somebody's reputation. I mean, that's a age old trick in the sales business, isn't it? Like, you don't want to deal with God, guy. He's sorry. No, you present yours and don't talk about your competition. Don't lie about it. And you've seen it within churches, people lying about their brethren. That's not beneficial. That's not godly. That's not going to help the church. That's not going to help your relationship with that brother. If you got a problem with him, go talk to him about it. Of course, do not steal. We've covered that before. It says one kind of stealing is one possession. The other is stealing is one reputation. Running a person down. Spreading lies. Rumors. And that's, once that's out there, it's hard to get back. Even if you didn't, I didn't mean for it to go that direction. Well, you can't unsay words. You can't unring the bell. Step out on your spouse, there's going to be some lying involved. Guaranteed. So, once again, and it said, pride, it's all interwoven together. It's not just one thing, it's all together. Yes, sir? Yeah, says this, but the application could be endless, right? On, you know, honor your father and mother. Well, if your child's lying to you, that's not honoring your father and mother, whether they're 5 or 45, right? It's the same applies no matter my age or circumstance. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Laying aside falsehood. It should not be part of us. We should not lie. We should not be accused of falsehood. Speak truth each of one with his neighbor. So that's with our neighbor, much less a fellow brother. We should even more so, right? We should not be accused of that. It should not be part of us. Let's go ahead and go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. Starting in 33. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. You shall not make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond that is evil. That's an interesting yes, yes, or no, no. We're going to say something, let's back it up. Let's don't be unreliable, wishy-washy. If you say, give your word, you got to honor it. You know, back in the old Westerns, they gave their word and shook on it. That was the bond. That was the contract. Fortunately, we don't have that today because too many people have broken that. But we need to be, if we're going to commit, let's commit. And if it's no, then it's no. But let's be dependable. Let's be reliable. People want people that we can count on us. If we tell them our word, yeah, I'm going to be there. You know, nothing's worse. Oh, yeah, so-and-so's moving. Okay, we're there. 10:30, no one's there. He's never here. You know? So, let's be people who, we give our word, we're going to be there. We're dependable. So, attitudes that will undermine this honesty and truthfulness. Turn me to John chapter 5. John 5:39. You search the scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not see the glory that's from the one and only God? How many people seek the glory of mankind today instead of the glory of God? Do what's right. Operate by the world standards, man's standards versus God. I don't care what God thinks about me. I care what my fellow man, my neighbors, think about. But that's the wrong standard. That's wrong in a lot of ways because you're not putting your faith in who God is, the Creator, who has all authority, who's going to judge us. Turn one more to 2 Thessalonians. Yes?
What's that about politics
first? Hot politics? I think it can go too far. I mean, I don't think it's wrong to have an opinion and want a certain person to win or a certain, you know, party to win. But at the end of the day, I have one vote. If I let it dominate my thoughts or change the way I treat my fellow man, then that's what you mentioned earlier. That's what the devil wants. It's kind of goes back to what Josh. It's losing my perspective, losing my focus on what's really important. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a Democrat in the White House somewhere in my lifetime. There's probably going to be another Republican. So, at the end of the day, it matters, but it's not worth losing my soul over. It's not worth losing a brother over. I mean, how many families split over this? And I agree, there's some very important topics, but it's not worth. It's not worth as much as which you see on the news as it is today. But, yeah. my opinion, a dollar gets you Coke anywhere. So, 2 Thessalonians, I think that's where I was headed. Chapter 2, verse 10. With all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so they will not believe, so they will believe what is false, in order they may all be judged, who do not believe in truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. We've got to be lovers of truth, whether it's what we believe or not. But if we're wrong, okay, I was wrong about this. This is the truth. I see it now. I made a mistake. I need to change my ways. But once we said earlier, I'm never wrong. Everybody else is wrong. Y'all need to change. I'm not the one that's wrong. You see that so prevalent in our society today. It's no one's self-aware. No one can be held accountable or afraid to say, I was wrong. I messed up on this. But we need to be different. We need to be set apart. If we're wrong, we need to. The truth is here. It's not what my neighbor thinks down the street. It's not what somebody at work says. The truth is in the Scriptures. This is the authority. This is the standard. You do not believe in truth, and then he coincides that with took pleasures in wickedness. We don't want to be those people. We don't want to take pleasure in wickedness. We don't be associated with those type of people. We want to be lovers of truth, not people who took pleasure in wickedness. When I think of wickedness, I think of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see how that turned out. So, just in closing, we'll look at the last two kind of suggestions for parents for thought. What kind of example, we've kind of touched on these, what kind of example do your children observe about obeying the law? Mistakes at the grocery store, taxes, work-related matters. Sick, he has in parentheses, I guess maybe taking sick time when maybe I'm just sick of work. So, yeah, our children are going to see that. What kind of citizens are we raising? What kind of future workers are we raising? So they're going to see how we react, how we carry these recommendations out. Any other comments on that? Last one. Learning to be honest and truthful will impact your children the rest of their lives, relation to parents, family, marriage, work, job, service in the kingdom. Use some examples to illustrate this to your children. Yeah, it's, marriage, it's not always going to be great. You're going to be disagreements. You're going to be wrong. Every now and then, we are wrong. You know, what kind of jobs? Are they coachable? You have people who are willing to learn and don't think they already know it all and actually want to work a little bit and just don't go straight to the top. Service in the kingdom. We see Jesus wash people's feet. That's below him. He shouldn't do that. No, he was here to serve. He was here to serve us. So serve us, and we should do the same. Are we serving our brethren or something? That's below me. I don't want to do that. That's not the right attitude we need to have. And our children see that. Our children see how we serve, how we help out. Are we giving the right? We're giving them an example, right or wrong, one way or the other. Which one are we giving to them? What I see here, I think, parents should commend them bringing their children to the work day, bringing their children to the practice we have, bringing their children to help move people. I mean, there's nothing better than them to understand this is the expectation. This is, what you need to be doing. Because one day you're going to be in a position where you're going to need some help. And hopefully there'll be people there to help you. Yes, sir. Billy, don't ask me to get in their head. I don't know. I don't understand it. But yeah, it's obviously it's a crazy world we live in, and this is all my perspective. Maybe people in 1950 or 1900 said the same thing. I don't know. But yeah, it seems like the world's been turned upside down on its head, and just think. You're right. Right.
Thank you.
definitely more acceptable, and you know the morality of the world has gone downhill for sure. So yeah, but to your point, it's some of the same stuff was going on in the Old Testament, right? And he said nothing new under the sun. It's just maybe new to us. So which is maybe that's good that we're a little naive. So anything else before we wrap this class up? Looks like we're 45 after. Appreciate your comments, kind words. Anything? Thank y'all.